us worship God, our call to worship.
O Lord, in you we find refuge. Let us never be put to shame. Turn your rear to us, O God, and save us. For you are our rock and our fortress. God has been our hope and our trust from our earliest days. Let us sing out our praise for God's steadfast love. All glory and honor to the Creator, this day and always.
Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting one, your power is incomparable, your majesty infinite, and your love beyond our imagining. We bring you our worship because you are the one who created us, the one who redeems us, and the one who gives us life. You are our rock and our fortress. In you, we find our strength. In a world full of noise, we come to hear your voice calling us to be who you have created us to be and do what you have created us and called us to do. In this time of worship, quiet our fears, soothe our bruised souls, and energize us for ministry in and with your beloved world. Forgive us when we are reluctant to hear your call, when we convince ourselves you'd do better to find someone else, someone older, more articulate, more courageous, someone with more faith. Help us to hear and remember your promises. Forgive us our many excuses, the times we doubt your presence, the times we reject your prophets, the times we reject ourselves. In the opportunities and challenges in our lives, help us to see that you are there and help us to respond in faith, hope, and love. Amen. God is our rock and our fortress. In God, we find our hope and our strength. Dear friends in Christ, hear the good news. We are always surrounded by God's forgiving love, a love that has known us from birth and will never let us go. Thanks be to God. We have been called to speak and to live out the radical abiding love of God in the world, and we do so by offering all that we are, all that we do, and all that we have, knowing that God will use our gifts to bring the beloved community ever closer to being realized in this world. Let us take a few moments to reflect on our gifts and the many ways we offer them back to God's service. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, receive our gifts of self and substance. They have belonged to you since before our very beginning, and we give them freely, joyfully, and prayerfully, asking that you would bless them always as you bless us to your purposes. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Before I forget, two important announcements. Families, if you'd like to stick around for coffee hour today, we will have a kids coffee hour and we'll sort you all into your own breakout rooms so you can chat amongst yourselves if you would like some fellowship between the kids. And the other one, which is really important for everybody of all ages, is that next Sunday is Communion Sunday. So you'll want to be prepared with your communion elements if you would like to join us at God's table. So I have a question for you, and grown-ups, you can feel free to raise your hands also. Who here has ever had a problem that they just couldn't solve? Has anybody had a problem that they just couldn't solve? How about a job that was just too big to do on your own? Anybody? What is something that we do when we have a problem and we don't know how to solve it, or when we have a job that's too big for us to do by ourselves? What's something we can do? We can ask for help. That's right. And who might we ask for help? We could ask a sibling. We could ask our mommy or daddy. We could ask a teacher or another trusted adult. How many of you have ever used the phrase or heard the phrase, find a trusted adult if you have a problem, right? We tell our kids this. Kids, I know you guys have heard this. We say, find a trusted adult if you have a problem and we will help you. We talk a lot about trust. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done those trust exercises where you have to close your eyes and fall backwards and somebody behind you has to catch you. Has anybody ever done that? Does anybody else get, you know, it starts off fine because it's only like this far. But have you ever noticed that as the distance gets further and further that you have to fall, the bottom goes out of your stomach and it suddenly feels much farther before they grab you? Has anybody ever felt that before? It's that moment of panic and uncertainty, even as we know that there's somebody behind us. And I want everybody to kind of think about that feeling in your tummy when you have a problem that you don't know how to solve, or you're just not sure how something's going to work out, and you're in the middle of it, and you're scared, and you're maybe tired, and you're exhausted. Because that is a moment where all we can do is trust in the people that are around us. And more than that, those are the types of moments when we are called to rely on our trust in God. And we are called to trust God in every moment, but I found that sometimes when we're really tired or we're really scared or we're really overwhelmed, it can be that much harder because we want to panic because we don't feel like we have control over anything. But God tells us to trust him. Not because he's going to fix everything and wave a magic wand and be like Cinderella's fairy godmother and fix it all up and make it perfect. That's not actually what God promises in the moment. What God promises is that he's going to be with us. God promises us that no matter where we go, no matter what kind of problem we get ourselves into, no matter how scared we are, no matter how tired we are, God is right there with us. Like a parent or a trusted adult, those hands that reach out and catch us when we are falling, God is with us and God rescues us. Today's Bible story is about a young man named Jeremiah who was just a young teenager when God said, "Hey, Jeremiah, guess what? You're going to be a prophet." And not just any prophet, you're going to be a prophet in some of the most difficult circumstances I've ever called a prophet to do this job. And Jeremiah says, no, God, you've got the wrong guy. I'm just a kid. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, it's just not going to happen. I can't do it. And God says, look, I will give you the words and I will show you where to go. I will be with you and I will rescue you. And Jeremiah does all kinds of things, and it's not always easy. Jeremiah is sometimes called the weeping prophet, if you can imagine. That even someone who is so chosen by God and so called and so sure of what God is telling him, even he is overcome by the reality of what he's living in. And yet God is always with him and God promises to rescue him. And as we think about our star word, trust, today, and we think about the people that we might go to when we have problems or when we're frightened or when we just don't know what to do next, I want you to remember that we are also called to trust God, because God has promised to always be with us. And even if we can't tell exactly how God is helping us in that moment, we trust that God is with us and rescues us every single day. And I love that song, that worship song from Shipwrecked, "Never Let Go of Me." It's such an important reminder that God truly never lets go of us. So let's hear about the very start of Jeremiah's ministry. This is from our Old Testament. It is Jeremiah chapter 1, and Liz is going to share God's word with us this morning.
A reading from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. The call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as the prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever felt like you're in over your head? Maybe you signed up for a course and it wasn't exactly what you thought it would be. I took apiculture in university, which is beekeeping, and it was reputed to be a bird course or a bee course, if you will. It was not. I know more about bee communication and zigzag flying patterns, or I did. I don't know that I've ever studied so hard for an exam in my life. But sometimes we get ourselves into situations and we don't know how we got there or how we're going to get out. Many of us, I think, have stories about jobs where the job had different expectations than we thought we'd signed up for or signed on for, or the role changes from what we felt equipped to do. And I know that this is true for many in the pandemic, but I think most of us have jobs in our histories that kind of fit that description too. My first non-babysitting and non-camp job was at a coffee shop, which seems normal enough. You make coffee, serve donuts, all good, until I tell you that my employer had several shady sidelines, most of which were operated out of the coffee shop and which we were expected to wait tables for. Needless to say, I only worked there for a couple of months. And thankfully found my second job, which I loved, as a veterinary technician in the surgical department at the Ontario Veterinary College. And I have absolutely zero qualifications to do that job. To this day, I don't know how I went from volunteer in one department to full-time staff in a surgical OR. Zero experience, significantly minimal training, than was probably wise. And yet, there I was. Then again, there are some things that you just can't study for, and you do just have to dive in and learn as you go. And there is something about passion, but there's also that piece of trusting ourselves and trusting those around us. You have to trust that whoever chose you for the job saw something, some special skill or ability that you weren't even necessarily aware you had. We often talk about trust as a bit of a platitude, some sunny pronouncement that all will be well if we just have more trust, more faith, more patience. Unfortunately, this doesn't actually demonstrate that we have any understanding of the genuine fear, pain, and suffering that many people are going through. Trust is a very tricky and often very fragile thing, particularly if we treat it as a remedy for hardship. And yet trust is exactly what we are called to as God's children. Today, as we lament the ongoing pandemic, As we recognize its effects on the most vulnerable in our communities and the compounding stress of brutal weather, reduced programs, overburdened social services, a mental health system which out of necessity tends to focus more on acute care than health promotion, the tasks seem many and the resources few to none. As the world grapples with climate change, political tensions, never-ending refugee crises, food insecurity, and socioeconomic disparities, to name a few, is it any wonder that we and the church and the communities at large often feel overwhelmed and under-equipped? I mean, where do we even start? Maybe the best starting point is in that five-letter word, trust. Not in the quick fix, but in exactly what God promises Jeremiah, presence and rescue. Only imagine how Jeremiah must have felt when God turned to him and called him to prophesy to a seemingly hopeless nation bound for exile due to their lack of faith. Imagine if this were a job posting. Prerequisite skills, none. I'm putting my words in your mouth. Relevant job experience, not required. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So, you know, no pressure. And here are your roles and responsibilities. You are appointed over nations and kingdoms, but not as a ruler. You will be uprooting, you will be tearing down, you will be destroying, and you will be overthrowing. And while you're doing that, you will be building and you will be planting. And the suggested offered compensation is the promise of God's presence and rescue should the need arise. So if we came across this job posting on Indeed or wherever you get your job postings these days, I think there would be a couple of things that stand out right off the bat. The first is that it's not particularly surprising that Jeremiah tried to talk his way out of this. Rescue implies peril and danger. Rescue from what exactly? Needing to be rescued means that you have fallen into a dangerous situation. And so if Jeremiah is going to need rescue as part of the job, then I have some questions. And so does Jeremiah. Regardless of age, would any of us truly feel equipped for this role? Or would we look around at the problems of the world today, the problems of the world back then, not all dissimilar from each other, and say, whoa, I am so not ready for this. What could I possibly offer? What could I possibly do? Ultimately, what Jeremiah is called to is to proclaim hope and trust in a future that the people cannot see. Worse than that, he proclaims their complete undoing before that promised future will arrive. It's not exactly a campaign platform that's going to win him any of the popular vote. If we look at the arc of Jeremiah's life and ministry, we see the Babylonian siege, the first deportation, the stubborn Jerusalem leadership, and then multitudes of feel-good prophets who tell the people whatever they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And then there's just outright hostility because Jeremiah told them what they needed to hear and not what they wanted to hear. It's an uphill, no-win battle. It is a task that nobody could or would do on their own. And at the outset, it doesn't seem like God is necessarily offering much in return. But as always, it turns out to be everything that could possibly be needed. God promises to be with him, to give him the words, to rescue him come what may. God asks Jeremiah to trust him even when the situation seems impossible, even when the problems seem insurmountable. Even when the path leads Jeremiah to require rescue. Trust that God takes initiative even before we are born. Trust that God sees the needs of the world, the injustices, the anguish, the cruelty, and begins the process of dismantling and breaking down even as he already begins to build back up through those that he calls and equips, like Jeremiah and like us, like the church. Trust that rescue will come. Trust in God's eternal and abiding presence. This is the trust that God asked of Jeremiah, and this is the same trust that God asks of each of us. It is the same trust to which God calls the church. Instead of descending into spiritual anguish, too big for me, I can't do it, we are called, like Jeremiah, to boldly accept the call to trust in God's presence and to hear God's promise to us as it was to Jeremiah. And it is a promise and a challenge. If you read to the end of chapter 1, you will find this. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the peoples of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, because I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. All Jeremiah can do is what all of us who are called by God can do. And that is all of us. We talk about calling and ministry, and we seem to think that it only lives within the four walls of the church, but it lives in each of us. All of us are called by God. And all Jeremiah and all that we can do is to go forward in the firm belief that we are called and equipped for the work at hand, trusting that God will stay true to the promise to stay with us even in hard times, especially in hard times. Trust that we are never alone and that God has already rescued us through Jesus and continues to rescue us even now. Trust that God is faithful and he will never let us go. Graham says, this makes my sermon too long, but I want to share this with you anyway. I want to share a reflection for which I can claim no credit, but which stood out to me this week as perhaps exactly what we need to hear as we continue to put our trust in God and respond to his call. It's part of an essay that was written earlier this month by retired professor Tom Bogart for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And it's titled Martin Luther King, Compassion Fatigue, and God the Insomniac. And since I think that most of us are feeling the effects of compassion fatigue right now, and since so many of us are burdened by the weight of so many different problems in our community and in our families and in our world, that this may be exactly the word that we need to hear as we consider Jeremiah. And as we consider God's call to trust, not only to Jeremiah, but to us as well. So Bogart writes, as the Montgomery bus boycott extended from days to weeks to months, as the simmering anger of the white community began to boil, as more and more people made death threats, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s courage began to fade. And he later wrote, I was ready to give up. With my cup of coffee sitting untouched before me as my family slept, I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. Dr. King found himself at a place where so many other would-be prophets have found themselves: compassion fatigue. Since biblical times, prophets have arisen in every generation to protest the systems that abuse the vulnerable and exploit the created order. Yet their courage inevitably fades in the face of fierce resistance and the failure to bring about real change. Eventually, many of these prophets grow weary and cannot sustain their erstwhile compassion. Abraham Joshua Heschel was, to Bogart's knowledge, the first theologian to describe the dynamics of compassion fatigue. He began writing his now famous book, The Prophets, in the 1930s, when so many people were complacent as Hitler rose to power. He described God's fierce and inexhaustible love for all his creatures and wrote about the Holy One who inhabits eternity, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. With these famous words, Heschel identified one of the most underappreciated attributes of God in all of Scripture, God the insomniac. At his kitchen table that night, Dr. King could neither slumber nor sleep, and so he turned to God, the insomniac, in prayer. Years later, the words still vivid in his memory, he revealed to his followers this very private moment, a desperate prayer and an epiphany. He said, "I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone. At that moment, I experienced the presence of God as I have never experienced it before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything." 3 days after that epiphany, when a bomb exploded on the porch of his house and an angry mob of supporters were arming themselves to seek vengeance, Dr. King stood on the porch and addressed the mob. "We must meet hate with love. Remember, if I am stopped, this movement will not stop, because God is with this movement. Go home with this glorious faith and radiant assurance." Looking back years later, Dr. King would say this about God's presence in his life. "I conclude by saying that each of us must keep faith in the future. Let us not despair. Let us realize that as we struggle for justice and freedom, we have cosmic companionship." In other words, God cannot rest until all of the children of God are safe in the fold. We are not alone. We are cared for by a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, the God in whom we put our trust. The call of Jeremiah is the call that each of us needs to hear day in and day out when it looks as though the deck is stacked against us, as though the problems are too big, the systems too established. The call is to each of us who have ever felt as though we are too young or too experienced or too small to be ineffective, too weary to go on. We do not need to wait until all of the overthrowing happens before we can start the building and the planting. If that were the case, we would never build or plant anything. The people of God are called to trust in God's presence even in the middle of chaos and despair. Building, planting, creating, and making beauty, these are the things that can happen in spite of. This is the work to which God calls us even in the midst of the larger work of pushing against the powers and principalities of the world. We are called to trust in God's presence and not allow passion to fade into cynicism because nothing seems to change. We are called to take risks, and there will be consequences, but that doesn't mean that the building and the planting is in vain. It doesn't mean that God is not still at work. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. We are in the care and the embrace of a God who neither slumbers or sleeps, the God in whom we put our trust. Amen. As we take a moment to gather the cares and concerns of our community, it is important to keep in our prayers all of those who are particularly affected by this massive drop in temperatures and the effects of the pandemic on those who are underhoused and those who are experiencing homelessness. The city recently marked the first death of someone due to hypothermia in our homeless community here in Toronto. The hospitals are seeing a huge increase in cold-related and exposure-related admissions. People who are coming to the ERs despite the pandemic, seeking shelter and help. The shelter system is vastly understaffed due to health restrictions and staff who are sick. There are hundreds of positive cases. And one of the downsides to all of the outbreaks is that shelters are not able, in most cases, to take additional admissions while they are dealing with an outbreak, which is adding pressure to an already overburdened system. So as we move through our week and as we give thanks for all that we have, let us continue to pray for all of those who are experiencing homelessness, all of those who are responding with what they can to respond to needs. Let us pray for our leaders and for our communities that we might find a way forward to ensure access to all for the basic necessities of life. Let us pray. O God, your love is patient. We give thanks to you for all those who have been patient with us, teaching us and caring for us in so many ways. We pray that you would give us the patience to love others as you have loved us. We thank you for every unexpected gesture of kindness we have received and ask that you would give us the courage to be kind to others, serving those who seem unkind, rude, or difficult to love. Remind us that each person that we meet is your child, our sibling in Christ, made in your image. Lord, the love that you show us is not arrogant and does not seek its own interests. We thank you for all who work to serve those who cannot fend for themselves. Strengthen those who have lost hope and confidence in their own value. Give us insight to speak the truth in love and to work for change that creates opportunities for those on the margins and respect for those who face discrimination and oppression. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering, for those whose basic needs are not met, for those who spend long, lonely days and nights in the cold and bitter winter weather. Lord, challenge us to see beyond stereotypes, to think creatively beyond strained budgets and overburdened schedules. Lord, help us to see your children worthy and deserving of your love, the same love that we ourselves have received. Lord, we pray for all of those who are filled with anger, for those who feel violence is the only way out, and for all around them who face fear of violence and repercussion. Lord, raise up advocates, those who speak with authority, who put their trust in your word and in your vision. We pray that we might each have the wisdom to hear, to speak your peace and your justice into a world so full of hate. Oh God, your love bears all things, it never fails. And we thank you for those we have loved in this life who now dwell in the presence and joy of your presence. Let your comfort settle those who are bereaved or lonely these days. We remember before you those who carry heavy burdens, who are weighed down by many cares and much stress, for those who find too little comfort and help, those who are unsure and uncertain, those who are slowed down by self-doubt and self-pity. Lord, call us and challenge us to put our trust in your presence and your promises. Open our eyes to those who are in need around us and show us how to offer support and companionship, that same support, companionship, and love that you offer us for the sake of Christ, our friend and Savior, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord, trusting in God's promised presence with us always. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now, this day, and forevermore. Amen.